Good morning and welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. A couple of very important people here today from El Paso County Search and Rescue. Alyssa Karpa is here. Hello, Alyssa.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in. Jay.
Good morning.
Jay Christensen. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
I truly appreciate you guys coming in. And I think this is actually, well, I've been doing the show the first time El Paso County Search and Rescue has come in. So I'm very excited to talk to you guys because it is a very active, not that you guys aren't active the entire year, but it is a very active time of year for you, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah. So give us a little history for those that don't know about the El Paso County Search and Rescue. It's completely a volunteer organization, isn't it?
Right, exactly. So I guess the shortest version is way back in the 70s, an amateur group of radio operators sort of helped with some emergency stuff. And right at that time, the government was arranging search and rescue groups, and they gave all the authority to the sheriff's department. The sheriff said, I don't want to do this myself because this is expensive. And they said, you guys go and do it. So they formed El Paso County Search and Rescue, which turned out to be a group of 100% volunteers. So we are self-funded, self-paid. We don't actually get paid, so...
It's all volunteers.
Yeah, all our equipment is through generous donations, and it's all volunteer.
And so that's just, I think a lot of people don't know, again, that it's completely donation-based. You guys operating and what you do every year is donation-based.
Yeah, donations and grants. That's how we survive.
Now, the training that goes, how long have you both been with El Paso County Search and Rescue now?
We've been on the team for a little over a year.
Yeah, and so you were inspired, since it's completely volunteer. What inspired you, Alyssa, to, you know, join and be a part of the team?
Well, I've always been an outdoor enthusiast, and my sister actually broke her foot while we were hiking on the Appalachian Trail on the East Coast, and that helped inspire me to learn how I can actually help in those situations.
Right. Yeah. So it inspired you to come back and volunteer and start doing training, right?
Exactly. So I started going to meetings and then decided to apply, and then was accepted.
That's fantastic. And then, Jay, you have to go through, obviously, an entire training program.
Right, exactly. So our training program is two nights a week, usually Monday and Wednesday, and it's about 4 hours a night. And then we do 4 hours on Saturday for 10 weeks to get basically trained to be able to be on the team. And then once you finish your training, then we have continuing education two nights a month plus 2 weekend days a month.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I bet it's an incredible opportunity to learn and grow and be in part of an incredible group, if you will, organization, you know, El Paso County Search and Rescue. And how about you, Jay? What inspired you?
I just really wanted to get into the community. I used to work in a career path that was super busy, and I never had a chance to do any volunteering. And I was sort of brought up to do volunteering and get out there. So I figured, be outside, volunteer. Hey, what's not to like?
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's all the training. So there's that. But that's
absolutely
fun.
Yeah. And you get to enjoy some outdoors too. So on average, it sounds like, I mean, and we're just going to take the bomb cyclone out of that. Just this is that a safe thing to do?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're just going to remove that from what we're talking about, right? We'll talk about the bomb cyclone. But for this particular, you know, we're just going to take that out. On average, how many calls does El Paso County Search and Rescue go out on annually?
We're between 160 and 180 is kind of where our normal average falls.
And what kind of calls do you go out on? Is it mostly like somebody might go missing when they're hiking, or what kind of calls do you guys go out on?
It's about 80% rescues and 20% searches. So for the most part, it's people that are either injured while they're hiking, maybe they're feeling the effects of altitude, or sick.
Yeah, while they're out. For those of us that get altitude sickness, don't look at me like that. I'm one of those.
It can happen to anyone.
Absolutely. So are there some areas that you're called out to a lot that you're finding that you're called out to quite a bit when it comes to search and rescue operations?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, kind of unsurprisingly, Bar Trail and the Incline see somewhere around 30 to 40% of our rescue calls.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you think a lot of it is folks that, like we've talked about altitude, a lot of folks come from out of town and are like, I'm going to conquer this. And then the next thing they know, not so much.
That or they're unprepared.
Right.
You know, not enough water. Just that, or they get unlucky and take a step wrong and hurt their ankle.
Right. Now, you guys are backed up, of course, like you said, you're under, like, the El Paso County Sheriff's Office. But you guys would get backed up from, like, say, fire departments and stuff like that. You get help from them?
We certainly can. And that's part of the sort of overarching group of search and rescue through the state of Colorado is we can go to the Colorado Search and Rescue Board and they can provide extra assistance. So one of the missions that Alyssa and I were both on relatively recently, we went down to the Crestone Needle to help a rescue down there, which obviously is not in El Paso County.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can shift groups around. But we absolutely do rely on fire, but we are 911, right? And so when we're
exactly.
out there in the middle of nowhere and there's no one else available, we're 911. There's not a 912. So we actually are the backup in most cases.
Oh,
but fire in many cases, like with the Incline, you know, Manitou Fire, we have a strong relationship. Colorado Springs Fire, same situation.
Right. But that's interesting. So what other parts of the state, like you guys were talking about, have you guys been to help with search and rescue operations?
I think for both of us, the furthest we've gone for out-of-county stuff is the Crestone Needle.
Yeah, and that was a big search. Okay, so what we're going to do, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we might as well talk about it, right? We might as well just go ahead and talk about the bomb cyclone.
Yeah.
Should we do it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it, because that was an unbelievable event that you guys, the amount of calls you responded to. So we will have more with Alyssa and Jay when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Excited to be talking with Jay Christensen, Alyssa Karpa from El Paso County Search and Rescue. On average, 160 to 180 calls annually, right? And I think you said 80% were rescues, 20% were searches. And that we did not include the numbers from the bomb cyclone, because that was like double your calls, right? During the bomb cyclone, really.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It totally was crazy. So you guys were called out, of course, to assist in search and rescue operations. And how many calls in general do you think there were during the bomb cyclone in our area for to be called out for help?
So we responded to 258, but there were quite a few more calls that
right.
occurred during that time.
And probably were they specific calls that you guys went on, or was it just general search calls that you were called out on? Like, I'm stuck in a car at, I'm just making up an intersection, 94 and 24.
We were called on medical calls.
Okay.
So if anyone was actually, say they were stranded in a car and were having a diabetic emergency or heart palpitations, the calls were generally medical.
Okay, so and then you have, of course, have to retrieve them and get them to where they need to go. And you guys were mostly in the eastern and northeastern part of town, is that right, during the bomb cyclone?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really pretending to be ambulances at that point, because the ambulances don't have the ability to drive through snowdrifts. We've got a bunch of snowcats. By a bunch, I mean three. It's more than two. So, you know, it's a bunch.
It's a bunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
We have three.
Three is a bunch.
But we can do a lot of transportation work that, you know, an ambulance can't do in a 5 foot deep snowdrift.
Absolutely. So. And you guys actually, I think it was you guys that released some of the video from when you were out. I mean, talk about drift busting.
Oh, yeah.
In those snowcats. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then we were talking in the break, one of the snowcats, it was so bad while you guys were out searching. You had to, one of the team, because you couldn't see.
No,
so
we could not see.
One of the team was roped to the snowcat, right, but walking in front of it to try and guide it through everything. How intense is that?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting when you step out of the snowcat into 90 mile an hour wind. And I don't know if you remember the bomb cyclone, but there was a bunch of rime or sort of ice on the road.
Yeah.
And I was standing in the middle of the road and the wind kicked up and I didn't fall and I got pushed across the road while standing. It's that slick. So it's slow. For sure.
Jay, were you the one they roped to the front of the snowcat?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That wasn't me.
You're like, no. But you were driving one of the snowcats.
Yeah, for on and off for 17 hours, 16
yeah.
hours, something like that.
That's intense. So just being out, like you said, it pushed you across the winds, the force. You're tall guy.
Yeah.
Big dude, tall.
Yeah, I'm tall.
Yeah. Pushing you along. He's like, thanks for pointing that out, Renee.
Well, it's like a sail. I mean, if I was shorter, I wouldn't have been pushed around. So.
So on those 258 medical calls, did most of those require you guys to retrieve people and take them back, say, to hospitals and stuff like that?
It depends. We did retrieve quite a few people and we brought them to different shelters that were set up in different areas of the county. A lot of the shelters were fire departments, schools, and we'd get there, treat them, decide where they needed to go, if they needed to go to a shelter, if something more advanced was necessary.
Right.
And then we drop them off and get on the next call.
But right.
It's very slow because snowcats.
I was going to say, okay, let's reveal how fast do the snowcats go.
If you can see and it's downhill, you might get to 12.
Downhill.
Well, maybe on the flat.
12 miles an hour. Of course, you know, when it's like we're talking about the blizzard out there and the snow drifts. Sorry, tickle in my throat. How high were some of those snow drifts you guys were seeing?
Taller than both of us, so I don't know. Some of them might have been over quite more than 6 feet.
Yeah, there's definitely a few in the 10 neighborhood. I had to split a pair of stuck cars in the middle of the road with the snowcat, which barely fit, and the snow was over the top of both cars with no problem.
So could you even see the cars?
Kind of. Yeah.
So when you're driving, you're like, is that a car or is that just snow?
Yeah, it's just a snowcat. It's not going to do too much damage, right? You just keep going.
You just keep rolling on over it.
No. We missed everything. You can see.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that was quite the adventure for you guys during this bomb cyclone. But you guys have also been called out in other big blizzards as well.
Yeah, historically in the team, we've been part of all the big blizzards in the county.
Right. Going out and finding people. And you guys were telling me, what is the number of bursts now for El Paso County Search and Rescue?
I think in the snowcats proper, we're up to 2 or 3. I'm not 100% sure.
That's incredible. Well, it's got to be. I mean, it's incredible what you guys do and going out in those conditions when the rest of us are out hiding at home or, you know, and trying to, you know, stay safe with our families. You guys are going out there trying to help find people and bring them in and help get them medical attention. Did you guys get any sleep for a couple days or?
Not much.
Jay's yeah. Thinking about it.
No, I think I got like 4 hours over 48 hours. So not too bad.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great time. Right?
Now it was. I'll say that now. It's been a couple months. So.
Right. Exactly. Well, let's hope we don't see anything like that, you know. Anytime like next year. That's what we're all hoping for. Okay, we're going to take a quick news break. And when we come back, we are going to talk with, let's get the top safety tips from the people that know best, right? So we'll talk about some top safety tips, especially if you're heading out into the mountains on some trails. We'll have more with Alyssa and Jay from El Paso County Search and Rescue coming up next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today from El Paso County Search and Rescue, we're talking with Alyssa Karpa and Jay Christensen. Hello. Thank you for coming in today.
Hi.
I get to hear all the stories you guys are talking about during the break. We could probably talk about all the stories for hours, right? All the stories.
We got lots.
Yeah. All the rescues you have been on. But a good thing that we need to talk about, though, a helpful thing, is to help you keep you guys from coming out to find people is some safety tips, right? Whether you're hiking, going rock scaling. Am I saying all this right? You know. Maybe going camping. I'm sure you guys have been in multiple types of rescues. So it's a good idea for folks to have some great tips to stay safe. Because one of the rescues we were talking about, well, a couple of them have been rock scaling, right? And some folks maybe not quite as prepared as they should have been.
True. I would say regardless of what you're doing, hiking, climbing, to know your limits. Know what type of trail, what difficulty is appropriate for you, and to bring the gear that you will need. So adequate water, food, basically the 10 essentials.
Yeah, so the 10 essentials are really the key to be able to be sure that if something happens, you can survive for a decent period of time until either we can find you or someone else goes looking for you in that sense. And that's sort of the first important step is always pass off your plans to somebody else. So if you're overdue, someone knows to send somebody right. to go look for you, because if you go out and don't tell anybody, it's really, really hard for someone to suddenly know that they need to go look for you.
Right.
So once you have that step done, then the 10 essentials start to matter. And they are really just sort of basic first aid, illumination of some kind, a flashlight, a headlamp, sufficient food for 24 or 72 hours if you have to. Food's not nearly as important as water, on the other hand. Be sure you have extra water from what you need. Some form of fire starter. Sun protection. You can sort of look at it as additional clothing. If it's cold, you need sun protection plus insulation. That goes with layers and rain gear and all that sort of stuff. Navigation is a big one. Map and compass. I'm not a big fan of GPS. I mean, I use it and I like it, but batteries do die. Maps don't.
Right.
Which is
and signals
cool.
die as well.
Yeah. Also true. Don't yeah. trust your cell phone. It's not right. the key to the world, especially when you get out into the wilderness. A pocket knife, some tools, duct tape, some repair kit. So if, you know, your jacket rips, you can tape it back together kind of things. And some form of shelter, whether it's a tarp or a ground cloth or an emergency bivy or a hammock or whatever works for the system you use. And that's the key, too, is this stuff isn't stuff that you go buy a pack of 10 and you throw in your bag and forget about, and then you get it in the wilderness and you're like, huh, how do you set up this shelter? You need to figure that stuff out beforehand.
Obviously,
so
yeah,
preparation.
Right, before you head out. And, of course, I'm sure there's a list of the 10 essentials online that somebody could go check out and so they can be prepared and be ready to go, because that was really fast. So
there are definitely.
Yeah.
And to piggyback on what Jay said, some information that you can have or give someone that will help us is what color clothes you have, the plans, your hiking plans. So what trail were you hiking? Where were you going? What was your end destination? It's nice for us to know what gear you have so that we know how you're prepared. And then just your general fitness level, if there's any conditions that you have that we need to be worried about.
Right. Yeah. And how many, I'm sure this happens quite frequently, and we've all done silly things before where you're like, I'm just going to go up this really quick. They not planned whatsoever. Maybe start on a trail later in the day. Right? Jay's laughing, but it happens, right?
Yeah, no, it's the mountains. Thunderstorms happen
exactly.
in the afternoon, but it looks beautiful at 11:30.
Right. And I'm going to start up this right now. When we know some of these trails, you should probably be on it by 6 in the morning, if not earlier, right? In some of these trails in
True.
Our area to get back down in time. So like you said, planning out, let somebody know where you're going. And again, I'm sure the 10 essentials. Is that on the El Paso County Search and Rescue's website, the 10 essentials that you want if you're going out and about in the mountains? By that look, I'm guessing maybe not.
Yeah, they're definitely a search engine of your choice usable thing. There's a lot of different places for it. It's definitely something that I think is on our website, but I'm not positive.
Okay. So, yeah, go look for that. And again, communicate. I'm sure it surprises you guys, too, when folks just kind of head out and they don't let anybody know where they're going. Right? Communicate.
Or
yes.
leave water in the car.
Right.
That's the one that's always the mystery. You know, I'm just going to have water in the car as a reward. No, don't do that.
Have water with you.
Yes.
Absolutely have water with you. Okay, any other tips for folks if they're planning on heading out? I mean, you guys experience so much and all the rescues you go out with.
The one that jumps to mind quickly is the CORSAR card. So it's the Colorado Search and Rescue card, or a fishing license or a hiking license or a hunting license. What that does is it gives a little bit of money to DOLA, which is the Department of Local Affairs, and that generates a fund. The Search and Rescue, if you have one of those cards, can apply for reimbursement for your rescue. So an important detail, right, with Search and Rescue is we are always free. You call 911, we do not charge you money under any circumstance.
Right.
So you trip and fall and break your ankle or something worse or something not as bad, doesn't matter, call 911, we will come and get you. It doesn't cost you anything. But it costs us things. And so if you have a COSAR card, which is $3 for a year or 12 for five, or a fishing license or a hunting license,
it all helps go too.
If you have that, we can actually go back to DOLA and say, we have this license. Can you refund us some of our fees? The answer is yes, they can. And if you don't have that, we're at the end of the year having to do grant applications from DOLA to try and get some of that back.
Absolutely.
And so it's definitely a preemptive step where you can buy a COSAR card or a hunting or fishing license.
And speaking of getting the funds, we're going to talk about some fundraiser efforts that you guys have going on, right? Including a big golf tournament that's coming up. Also, you guys have recruiting coming up. Is that right? For looking for new team members for El Paso County Search and Rescue?
True.
Actually, we're going to wait and we're going to talk about that. Sorry, I'm not trying to cut you off, Alyssa.
No big.
We're going to talk about that. She's like, no big. We're going to talk about that and more when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking all things El Paso County Search and Rescue with Jay Christensen and Alyssa Karpa. And as we've been talking about, a lot of people may not know that you guys are completely funded by grants and donations, which I'm sure a lot of people may be surprised by that, to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have fundraising efforts and events that go on all year long. And one of the biggest ones is coming up, is it this weekend? This
Friday.
Weekend, this Friday. So this is a big, don't look at me, I don't play golf. People run when they're like, oh, Renee's approaching a ball in a club, run. But for those that do love golfing, so it's a big golf tournament this Friday.
Yes, yeah, so we have our big golf tournament this Friday, and all proceeds benefit our team. And it is occurring at Cheyenne Shadows Golf Club, and that is on Fort Carson. So the entry fee is $70 per player. It includes the green fees, the cart, a gift, breakfast and lunch, and a complimentary beer. The event includes raffles and obviously breakfast and lunch. And registration opens at 6:45 a.m. on Friday.
Now, is there still availability for teams to join the golf tournament?
Yes.
Okay.
And we do have sponsorships as well.
Perfect. Okay, so how do folks either, you know, get a spot for their team or sponsorships or anything like that? What's the best way to go about that?
For more information on all of that, you can head to our website, www.epcsar.org.
Okay.
And then click on the events tab and it will be the first one there.
And they can just get their spot right through there?
Absolutely.
Through the website? Okay, perfect. And you have more events coming up in the year? Is this the big, big one for the year?
We have a bunch of events coming, but this is the biggest one of the year, right?
For fundraising.
Yeah, for fundraising.
Perfect. So again, this Friday, plus you get to golf at Fort Carson, right?
Yeah.
How incredible is that?
Yeah, and with all the water this year, it's going to be lush and beautiful.
I know. Do you guys play golf?
No.
Nope.
See, okay, good. Usually I'm the only
it's
one
not
that,
just you.
Okay. See, what happened was, literally one time I went out and it was like a driving competition and the club went further than the ball. So people were running. So I just don't touch it anymore. And speaking of events, we've been talking about, of course, adding new team members to El Paso County Search and Rescue because it's all volunteer. How long do you think the longest member has been on the team?
We're pretty sure it's somewhere above 45 years at this point.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't know you were going to ask, otherwise I would have looked it up. But
yeah. It's all good.
Yeah.
And are you guys still considered the newbies?
Sad but true. Yes, we are.
You're still the newbies.
Yeah.
But you're actually having an event, and that's coming up this week as well. Is that kind of an information kind of a session where people can come and learn more about it if they're interested?
Yes. So this Thursday, we have a prospective member orientation night.
Okay.
It starts at 6 p.m. at our rescue base, and it's a time for people that are interested in joining to come and meet the team, ask any questions, and we'll give information about how to apply and, you know, what the new member training looks like and any expectations that we have of new members.
So what are some of the expectations? Like, is there a specific person that, like, you know, must love the outdoor or something like, you know, I'm just coming up with stuff, obviously, but.
No, the biggest expectation that we have is that you're interested in doing some of everything we do. So every member on our team is qualified to do everything we do, be it a search, be it a rescue, be it, you know, work on the overhead side of things. You have to be trained to do everything. So if you're afraid of heights, maybe it's not the perfect choice for you because you will at some point end up rappelling off of a large mountain. You know, if you right. only want to do office work, unfortunately, we have other stuff that needs to get done as well. So, you know, willing to do a bit of everything, that's the biggest key for what we're doing.
Perfect. And time commitment.
Yeah.
You're willing to put in the time to go to the new member training, to respond to missions once you are a member, to continue, you know, gaining education through the regular trainings that
right.
we have.
Right. And again, they have to get registered for this informational meeting, this meeting for possible new group members, new team members? They have to register, right?
No. There's no registration. Just show up.
Just show up at our rescue base.
Where is the rescue base located?
If you can't find it, Search and Rescue's not for you. No, I'm kidding. The address is on the bottom of our website.
But good point.
Yeah. No, it's not a good point. Come on. But if you Google Search and Rescue, El Paso County Search and Rescue, it's in Google Maps. It's on the bottom of our website.
Step one, find rescue
yeah,
base.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Right.
Then you can apply.
So that is, again, this Thursday, right at 6
mm-hmm.
p.m. And then the golf tournament is Friday, starting registration starts at 6:45 a.m.
Yes.
Okay. All that information, details online on your website, EPS, or excuse me, can you tell it's Monday? EPCSAR.org. Lots of great information. Well, you guys are fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for all of you do. And let's hope we don't have another bomb cyclone, right?
Thank you for having us.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Perfect. Jay Christensen and Eliza Carpa from El Paso County Search and Rescue. Thanks so much. Coming up tomorrow on The Extra, Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers will be here. That is tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.